Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A high-speed chase, crash, and a dead driver. This hour, the search is on for the passenger. What we have learned about this investigation.
And rain is headed our way for the weekend. It starts around the middle of the day Friday and lingers into Saturday. I'll show you what time it moves out so you can plan around it for your weekend.
And we now know exactly who is the first person ever to have a computer chip surgically implanted in the brain, the difference it's making for the quadriplegic, and what makes this technology stand out.
A man and woman are recovering after an early morning shooting. It happened around 2:30 near a plaza on Craftsman Drive. I want to welcome you in WRL News at noon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. That was off New Hope Church Road. Police say the shooting happened near Club Love. The breaking news tracker was there as officers placed evidence markers in the road indicating where shell casings were found. No word yet on what led to the shooting. So far, no arrest. Soak in the sunshine today. We'll have rain spreading across the area tomorrow.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at how to plan around this weekend's rain.
Watching that system developing already. It's starting here in the Gulf Coast. We're going to see that moving eastward and then moving up the coast of North Carolina, spreading rain out ahead of it. Let's take a look at that on Futurecast. We'll start off tomorrow early in the morning. We'll end up with cloudy skies to begin with. It is not likely to be raining during the morning commute, so it should be a decent commute for the morning. And then once we hit lunchtime, we start to see that rain spreading northward. This is a look at 3 o'clock, and we're looking at rain all the way up to the triangle. And by 5 o'clock, we're seeing showers across most of the viewing area. So that means it's going to be a pretty messy commute for us on Friday. After that, more rain keeps coming all night, spread all across the viewing area. So rain steady to heavy at times all night long. And then a band that comes through early in the morning on Saturday between 4 and 6 a.m. And that's going to potentially bring a few isolated thunderstorms and that round of some heavier rain. At 8 o'clock, we're starting to see the back edge of the rain down south. Once we get to lunchtime, we're still dealing with a little bit of light patchy rain in our northern counties, but on through the afternoon, it really begins to taper off. At 2 o'clock, maybe an isolated shower along the I-95 corridor or eastward. But once we get past 8 or 9 o'clock, that rain really starts to taper off, and we even will see skies clearing as we get into the evening. So again, this begins early to mid-afternoon on Friday. It rains all night and into the early part of the day Saturday with some gradual tapering off of the rain. Sunday looks nice and dry. We'll have some cool temperatures to go along with this. I'll show you coming up in just a little bit.
We turn to some politics for following this noon, including Donald Trump's so far unsuccessful efforts to come up with a bond to cover the $464 million judgment in his New York civil fraud case. If the former president can't make bond by the court's deadline Monday, the state could start seizing his assets, possibly including Trump Tower in New York. Now the billionaire and the GOP's presumptive nominee is facing a cash crunch as President Biden hits the campaign trail this week. Garrett Hake has details from Washington.
Facing a Monday deadline to post a nearly $500 million bond in the civil fraud case against him, former President Donald Trump is short on cash and running out of time. His attorney's emergency appeal filing still unanswered by the judge. The billionaire developer could have to sell off prized assets to cover the costs or risk seeing them seized by the state.
You can't reverse selling off Trump Tower on a fire sale at a discounted price.
The former president has raged about the judges and Democratic Attorney General Letitia James's handling of his case on social media. On Wednesday, writing, "This case should be over, but instead the attorney general wants to abuse her power to steal my money." Mr. Trump owes $454 million of the total $464 million judgment, but with an annual interest rate of 9%, that amount increases by $111,000 every day it goes unpaid.
We have a lot of cash and we have a great company, but they want to take it away.
At Mar-a-Lago, campaign sources tell NBC News of concern and frustration, but not panic, among Mr. Trump's inner circle about the approaching deadline. Trump allies have even asked some political donors about guaranteeing his bond, according to a person involved in those discussions. In another sign that the former president's legal issues are translating into financial headaches, new campaign fundraising numbers show him trailing Team Biden by nearly $40 million. Meanwhile, President Biden in battleground Arizona is pointing to progress on the economy, awarding $8.5 billion in grants to Intel for semiconductor production in the U.S.
I want to build a future in America. my predecessor, going to let the future be built in China and other countries.
With independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. looming as a possible spoiler to the president's reelection effort and polling at 13%, according to a recent Fox News poll. Sources close to the Kennedys say family members who oppose RFK Jr.'s bid are set to step up their efforts to boost Mr. Biden. Just days after dozens of Kennedys gathered with the president in the White House Rose Garden on St. Patrick's Day.
As Garrett Hake reporting, President Biden has canceled more student loan debt, another nearly $6 billion through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Qualifying buyers include borrowers include teachers, social workers, some nurses and doctors who have made 10 years of monthly payments. To date, Biden has canceled nearly $144 billion of federal student loan debt for nearly 4 million people.
Neuralink's first brain implant patient is no longer a mystery.
How's it going out there? My name is Bliss, and I'm an engineer at Neuralink. And I'd like to introduce you to the first ever user of the Neuralink device. And I think you're my only telekinetic friend that I have.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
A live stream from the social platform X shows the patient, Noland Arbaugh, showing off his new skills with the help of the implants. So Arbaugh has no movement below his shoulders after a diving accident. He admits there have been some challenges with the implant, but overall, he says it's already changed his life.
4 months after a Knightdale mother was shot to death on her front porch, investigators have made an arrest. A 17-year-old is in a detention facility accused of killing Shanaka Earth in November. WRO's Ken Smith joins us now with updates and what we've learned about Earth's life before her untimely death. Ken?
You know, Jeff, by all accounts, Shanaka Earth was a beloved wife and mother. She was just 40 years old. She leaves behind her husband, Sean Smith, and three sons. The shooting happened as she was sitting on the porch of her home in Knightdale last November. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Trackers. Police investigated that shooting on November 8th. Investigators have not released the name of the teen who is now charged with murder and is in a juvenile detention facility. Now, this investigation into Shanaka Earth's death continues. Police officers are working to identify more people who could have been involved in that shooting. Jeff?
Ken, thanks for that. The search for a man who ran from police after a chase and crash in Wake County has now stretched into a second day. The search initially led to the lockdown of several neighborhoods. The man was the passenger in a car that led deputies on a chase. The driver died after deputies say he shot himself. WRO's Destiny Patterson is live in the area where that chase ended.
Well, Jeff, in the past couple of hours, I've seen deputies who are still patrolling this area, even this morning. And they say that crash ended right along the street here. This is Tryon Road, and it happened right at Yates Mill Pond Road. And you can even still see the tire marks on the road here. The neighbors that I spoke to this morning say that they were shocked and frightened when they got an alert from law enforcement. If you take a look at your screen here, you can see what that alert said. It was telling people to stay inside and stay alert. At this point, the sheriff's office says that there is no longer a threat to the area, and they do not believe that the passenger is still in the area anymore. But you can also see what that scene looked like last night. It all started when a deputy spotted a car weaving through traffic and running cars off the road. That's according to radio traffic. The driver crashed into a tree and then shot himself, according to deputies, and that passenger jumped out of the car and ran.
When I saw the alert, I thought that's probably far away from our house, but then I looked on a map to see how close it was, and I was shocked because we're in the county, we're not in the city. There's not a lot that goes on out here.
Again, the sheriff's office is still looking for the passenger who ran from that chase. At this point, they say they do not believe that he's still in the area. If you do have any information, you're asked to reach out to the sheriff's office. Jeff?
I'm certainly would like to find out where he is. All right, Destiny Patterson, live for us in Wake County. Thank you.
Today, March Madness tips off for both UNC and NC State. UNC is the top seed in the West region. They will play 16 seed Wagner at 2:45 this afternoon in Charlotte. And NC State is looking to follow up their incredible ACC tournament win with a run in the NCAA tournament. They're the 11 seed in the South region. They will tip off with Texas Tech tonight at 9:40 in Pittsburgh. Duke plays their first game tomorrow against Vermont. You can track all the games with live score updates, times, and TV information on the interactive bracket on WRL.com. Just search bracket. And coming up in 10 minutes, WRL's Chris Lee will have a look at what the Tar Heels and Wolfpack need to do today to move on.
Next at noon, corrections officers in Idaho were injured after a daring prison escape. How a dangerous inmate got out and the warning from police.
Also, a New Jersey woman walked onto an elevator that wasn't there. The frantic rescue after she fell down the open shaft.
Plus, life expectancy improved after the pandemic. At 12:30, the latest numbers that show it isn't all good news.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Several corrections officers are recovering after injuries after a daring escape involving a dangerous inmate in Boise, Idaho. Police urging the public not to approach the inmate nor the accomplice they say helped him. NBC's Dana Griffin explains how this all unfolded.
This morning, 31-year-old inmate Skylar Mead is on the run after authorities say he pulled off a sophisticated prison break that left three corrections officers injured.
We believe that this was a coordinated attack, ambush on the Department of Corrections officers, and certainly a planned endeavor to free him from custody.
Mead, shown here, handcuffed and bloodied, was taken to the hospital hours earlier for self-inflicted injuries. Then, just as he was about to be returned to prison, police say an alleged accomplice showed up at St. Alphonsus Regional Medical Center in Boise and opened fire, shooting two officers. A third officer injured in the crossfire. Overnight, investigators identifying the alleged accomplice as Nicholas Umfenauer. Authorities say Mead and Umfenauer fled in this gray Honda Civic.
They are dangerous, they are armed, and they have shown a propensity for violence.
Mead has a lengthy rap sheet and had been in prison for nearly 8 years for shooting at a deputy during a 2016 high-speed chase. He was eligible for parole in 2026. Investigators also revealing he is a member of a white supremacist gang.
They could be anywhere at this point. We're following every lead and accepting every possibility.
Today, people in Rochester, New York, expect to find out if it is safe to drink the water again. The mayor issued a boil water advisory after a body was found in a reservoir. That advisory has left some businesses and facilities scrambling to find solutions. The city school district had to close due to the advisory. City officials have been giving out bottled water to people living in affected areas. A pastor in Southern California is charged in a murder-for-hire plot and is being held on a $1 million bond. Investigators say the 47-year-old paid two men nearly $40,000 to target the man who was dating his daughter. The victim was shot in a drive-by in October of 2023, but survived. Police arrested the pastor and one of the alleged hitmen. Both are due in court next week. A third person is still on the run.
A New Jersey woman is recovering from serious injuries after falling 16 feet down the elevator shaft in her apartment building. The 53-year-old woman opened the elevator door on the first floor and walked in, not knowing the elevator was not there. Cell phone video shows the frantic moments after the fall. The woman's granddaughter had just picked her up from the bus stop, but the granddaughter was not hurt. A man who was visiting a friend in the apartment building heard the woman's calls for help and contacted authorities.
I heard somebody screaming, help me, somebody help me. I'm not a nosy person, but something inside was just telling me that, hey, like, just go check it out. You know, somebody might need some help.
Due to the woman's injuries, firefighters cannot lift her to the first floor, but instead drilled a hole into the basement to get to her. The daughter of the victim says so far no one from the apartment management company has reached out to her or her mother.
Strange creatures that resemble aliens are washing up on the shores of Mustang Island, Texas, near Corpus Christi. Researchers have nicknamed these creatures spaghetti monsters, but the actual name is Rhizophyza. It's one of many animals living together as one, similar to the Portuguese man-o-war. Spaghetti monsters share similarities with jellyfish. They kind of have that similar look. They have tentacles and can sting. Corpus Christi, a popular spring break spot for a lot of folks in that area. Watch out for those.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't see any rhizophyso along the North Carolina coast. Let us know if you do. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. Look at all that sunshine out there over the WRO Azalea Garden.
Yes, there might be a few pollen monsters out here. You know, we see some of those developing now, and that's likely to be with us, you know, for maybe three or four more weeks. But it is beautiful. Any minute, you can see folks out there enjoying the WRL Azalea Gardens, walking down the path. The azaleas are just starting to bloom. Most of the time, they're peaking in the middle of April, but in the last few years, they've begun to peak a little bit earlier. So, you know, I would give it, if you want to come out and see, I mean, right now, they're just beginning to start another week or two, and they're probably going to be just prime, maybe that first week of April or so. But it's a nice day out there. Temperatures are on the cool side at 55. Our dew point's 29, so it's fairly dry. We'll only make it into the mid-60s for this afternoon again, which is a bit cooler than it was yesterday. It's 50 right now in South Hill, 60 in Fayetteville, 55 Goldsboro, 58 degrees in Southern Pines. 24-hour temperature change is noticeable out there. It's not as a big a difference in Fayetteville and Clinton at 3 to 4 degrees, but in some places from the Triangle area northward, we're 9, 10, 11 degrees colder than we were this time yesterday, and that's where we're probably going to end up with our high temperature. 64 in Raleigh, 63 in Durham, and 67 in Fayetteville, and we did make it into the 70s yesterday. But 64 is actually normal for this time of year, and we'll keep it in the mid-60s all the way through the weekend. Now, we're not going to have a whole lot of sunshine to go with it until Sunday, and temperatures will be slightly cooler in the upper 50s. We'll even start on Sunday and Monday morning with temperatures in the upper 30s. So definitely still feeling a bit on the chilly side. I know a lot of people are thinking about football this weekend. If you're headed out for watch parties, maybe you're sneaking out of work early. It's a 2:45 game this afternoon. Yeah, basketball. Sorry. Is it Friday yet? I was busy. Yeah. All right. Anyway, NC State, it's a late game at 9:40 this evening. And temperature at that point will be around 51. And then for Duke's game at 7 o'clock on Friday, it is likely to be pouring for that one. So if you're planning to head out to a watch party for Duke, you're definitely going to need your raincoat or your umbrella. Starting tomorrow morning, it will be cloudy, but we won't be wet until we get into the afternoon. You can see that rain spreading northward at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It'll be a very wet evening commute for tomorrow, and that rain won't stop. It continues all night. We have this big band of some heavier rain that comes in early in the morning Saturday. That could bring us a few isolated storms. So it's still wet, at least for the northern half of the viewing area at around 8 o'clock. By lunchtime, it starts to clear out a little bit, but there may be an isolated shower in our eastern counties up until around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it moves on out. But we're definitely seeing a big jump in our chances for rain as we get into the late afternoon and overnight. Let's take a look at our pollen count. It's definitely high. It's going to be that way most likely for another month or two. The pine pollen will ease up in about 3 weeks or so, but mulberry and oak are high right now as well. The rain that we see tomorrow should help to knock those numbers down and maybe keep our pollen counts down a little bit into the early part of next week too, because our temperatures will be cool, looking at 58 on Sunday. We also have a chance of some showers again on Wednesday and Thursday.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. New technology aims to detect guns before they get into a school building. Tonight at 6, WRL Investigates gets a demonstration on how it works using artificial intelligence, plus where it's already in use and how much it costs.
And some of you got an emergency alert on your phone during a chase and manhunt that ended with a death in Wake County. At 5, we are taking a closer look at the alert process and why some people got that message and others didn't. Also, still ahead this noon, it can be hard to say no when your child wants something that's expensive or you don't think they need. We'll share advice to help you navigate those conversations.
Plus, what do you do when the government issues a recall for your vehicle but there isn't a fix? Well, you park it outside. Coming up, the exorbitant number of vehicles that fall under that category.
Noon here in the Triangle and noon down at the coast. Look at Beaufort, just beautiful right there with those blue skies right down by the beach. As you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Cool wind off that ocean, though.
Breaking news, the Justice Department is suing Apple for allegedly blocking rivals from accessing hardware and software features on the iPhone. This is the latest attempt by the Biden administration to rein in big tech. The Justice Department is already suing Google for monopolizing its search and online ad business. The Federal Trade Commission is pursuing antitrust cases against Amazon and Meta. White House analysts estimate that about 10% of American workers are in jobs that are most exposed to artificial intelligence. That doesn't mean, though, that those jobs will be wiped out by AI. For some workers, the technology would complement their tasks. But the report did not identify specifically what those jobs or industries might be. Researchers also found workers with less education and lower income are especially exposed to AI, which could amplify inequality.
H&R Block is suing the FTC over a complaint concerning the tax preparation company's free online filing options. The FTC claims H&R Block misled customers over its marketing of free filing products. It also claimed that people's tax data was unfairly deleted. H&R Block denies the claims. A hearing before an administrative judge is set for October 23rd. Nearly 4 million vehicles on the road are under a park outside warning. It's up to 40%, or it's up 40% total since last May. What exactly is going on here? Why is there a park outside warning? That is issued for vehicles that are recalled but do not have a fix available, or the owner has not gotten the fix. Carfax says park outside is the most rare recall issued by the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration and usually relates to issues that could result in a fire.
Disney is bringing legendary heroes and villains to life on a new cruise ship. It's called the Disney Destiny, and it will feature the first-of-its-kind design theme, Heroes and Villains. It will draw on the legacies of beloved Disney stories, characters, and theme park attractions. Guests will encounter characters from favorites such as The Lion King, Hercules, and 101 Dalmatians. The ship is scheduled for delivery in 2025.
Dalmatian not on this list. The French Bulldog remains the most popular breed in the U.S. That's according to the American Kennel Club. The dog, popularly known as the Frenchie, held its crown as America's most popular dog breed for the second year in a row. These little bat-eared, smush-nosed, wrinkly-faced pups beat out roughly nearly 200 other breeds. The AKC says it registered more than 98,000 Frenchies in 2023. Rounding out the top five most common registered breeds were Labradors, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, and Poodles.
Something about that smush nose, though, yeah. I think is so cute. Just as the NCAA tournament gets underway, the ACC is hit with another lawsuit. Ahead on this newscast, the growing number of legal battles the conference is facing and what this means for the future of the ACC.
Plus, people are living longer than they used to. The new study that looks into what could be contributing to the longevity. And here is a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is preparing for an influx of Haitian migrants by deploying hundreds of state troopers and other resources to the East Coast. Now, as Dana Marie McNichol reports, DeSantis is also threatening to send Haitian migrants to Democrat-led states.
With the violence in Haiti still escalating, the U.S. is preparing for an influx of migrants, and Florida is ground zero. Governor Ron DeSantis now beefing up security through the Sunshine State, deploying more than 250 additional officers and soldiers, hoping to send a message to the migrants before they leave Haiti.
We have an unprecedented array of assets that are in the sea right now. Last thing you want to do is get into a boat, go over very dangerous waters just to get intercepted and sent back.
State officials are also positioning fish and wildlife boats off the Florida coast to help intercept the migrants at sea, promising to send anyone who makes it on shore illegally to places like Martha's Vineyard.
We're the last line of defense here in the state. So we typically will stay within state waters. If for some reason the vessel gets through that layer with the Coast Guard, we're here to conduct the intercept.
At the same time, there's also a greater focus on getting stranded Americans out of Haiti. On Wednesday, the State Department conducted its first helicopter rescue. And on the state level, Florida's Department of Emergency Management evacuated 14 Florida residents in a charter flight. They're now being reunited with loved ones and say they're grateful for that help.
It took a couple of tries, and they didn't give up. They stayed with us until the end of the mission, which I can happily say was a mission accomplished.
It was Dana Marie McNichol reporting. The State Department says there's still about 1,000 Americans still stranded in Haiti. It's not clear yet when they're going to be brought home.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Russia aborted the launch of three astronauts to the International Space Station seconds before liftoff. This is the crew here that was on that rocket. The crew are safe. The Russian rocket was supposed to lift off from Kazakhstan. The launch was aborted by an automatic safety system about 20 seconds before liftoff. Experts say it was triggered by a voltage drop and a power source. The next launch attempt is set for Saturday.
Thanks, Michelle. Today, UNC Chapel Hill leaders will talk about the search for their next chancellor. The Chancellor Search Committee will hold a meeting this afternoon at 3. It's happening at the School of Government over in the Knapp Sanders Building. This comes after the former chancellor, Kevin Guskowitz, left late last year. He is now the president of Michigan State University. Right now, Lee Roberts is serving as interim chancellor. Tonight, we'll get an update on how the Durham School Board plans to pay for classified staff in the coming school year. The school board meets tonight to talk about budget priorities. This is the latest step in the district's efforts to guarantee pay increases for classified staff. Last week, the board met with Durham County commissioners to discuss next year's budget. It should be reviewed and adopted at the end of April or early May. Tonight's meeting starts at 6:30. Ahead of tonight's meeting, members of the Durham Association of Educators will rally in front of the Staff Development Center. They say their goal is to show the school board the impact the recently implemented pay cuts have had on staff. They also say they'll share their vision for next year's budget priorities.
Not even the start of the NCAA men's basketball tournament can stop the big business of college sports. More and more, that means lawsuits. Clemson joined Florida State suing the ACC this week. The ACC countered with a lawsuit against Clemson. And WRL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy here to break it down with us. You spoke with the top officials at UNC, right, to gauge their feelings about the state of the league now that both Clemson and Florida State are trying to leave the league. All eyes turn to the triangle here with UNC as well. What are they telling you?
Well, they're watching the situation closely. At least one official, John Pryor, the chairman of the UNC Board of Trustees, is not happy with the league. He told WRL that the league is not acting in the interests of top schools like UNC and is instead propping up the bottom of the league. He called this a gross abdication of responsibility.
UNC hasn't filed a lawsuit so far yet or said that it wants to leave the ACC, but what are the next steps?
UNC has been very careful not to criticize the league, unlike Florida State. The school is studying its own options, no doubt, with lawyers going through the UNC contracts to find out if there is a way out. The Tar Heels are one of the biggest prizes left for the SEC and the Big Ten. And UNC Athletics Director Bubba Cunningham told me UNC will not be left behind.
Yeah, no, they'll fall in line at a certain point, right? The ACC might be left behind in all this. How long can this keep going with the lawsuits and teams wanting to leave, things like that?
I mean, it's going to be a lengthy process. These lawsuits won't be settled anytime soon, but it certainly feels like the league is falling apart in many ways. There's definitely a strong pull to the ACC from North Carolina. UNC coach Hubert Davis said, you know, my hope is that the conference not only will stay together, but will get even stronger. That kind of feels like wishful thinking at this point.
Yeah, when will the dominoes fall? There's a lot of money out there, of course.
That's a couple years, probably.
What it comes down to. All right, Brian Murphy, thank you for that. Yep. Renee?
Still to come, kids ask for stuff because they see what other kids have. And some parents find it hard to say no. How doing so can be a pivotal lesson for your child. Plus, how devices that measure someone's pulse can be way off when that person has darker skin. The big trouble with inaccurate readings. The WRL News app brings you the best of WRL's reporting and technology resources everywhere you need it to be. Download it today for coverage you can count on all your devices.
happening right now in the WREL Live Center, a DMV nightmare. There is a nationwide outage right now. We've just received reports. Officials say the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators is having a nationwide outage issue that is affecting every DMV in the country, including all of our DMVs here in North Carolina. There's nothing they can do about it. They are working to get this fixed. The outage is affecting an in-person DMV, online DMV, also the DMV kiosks that you see on your screen here. We have gotten several calls. We've gotten emails from viewers telling us they are waiting on lines as long as 20 minutes in Raleigh at the DMV. Five on Your Side has also reached out to figure out what exactly is going on. So again, just know right now the DMV is experiencing nationwide outages.
Michelle, thanks. Now, if you're the parent of a tween or teen, you probably hear from time to time, Mom, Dad, can I have fill in the blank? All my friends have one. I gotta have one. And you might say, no. And that's okay. One psychologist says it can also be helpful to talk to your child about why they really want this item. You can then offer to have them add it to their Christmas list or buy it for their birthday that's coming up, which can teach them patience.
We all think we have to have the latest whatever it is. And it seems like it's getting harder for parents to just simply say, no, have to and want to are different things. And I think parents need to have those discussions from the time they're wee ones until they're adults.
Child psychologists say giving your child everything they want could make them selfish. Don't worry, your child will eventually get over it.
They will. The life expectancy improved in 2022 after the COVID-19 pandemic, but health experts say life expectancy has not fully rebounded to pre-COVID numbers. According to a report released this morning by the CDC, life expectancy increased by just over a year, bringing the expectancy at birth to now 77 and a half years. The news isn't all good, though. Deaths among children increased among kids ages 1 to 4 between the year 2021 and 22. Heart disease remained the leading cause of death in the U.S., followed by cancer. We've known that pulse oximeter readings are not accurate for people with darker skin, and now a new report reveals just how flawed the devices can be. People with darker skin are 32% more likely to have readings that overestimate pulse oximeter readings. The inaccurate readings are due to the way they work. Pulse oximeters send light beams through fingers to estimate blood oxygen levels and pulse rates, but the devices are not calibrated for dark skin. Higher readings could delay potentially life-saving treatment.
We're about 2 weeks away from the total eclipse, and lots of people will want to get that perfect shot.
You really have to be mindful of the safety.
Coming up, a professional photographer shares some equipment you'll need to get the shot of a lifetime.
Plus, the number of trashed cell phones, laptops, tablets, and more is rising, leading to toxic effects on people and the environment. Coming up, a new effort to reduce the surging numbers. Welcome back this noon. There are plenty of new devices in this digital age, but a new United Nations report reveals there's also plenty of electronic waste.
Recycling efforts are not keeping up with the pace. Older technology is being thrown away. Gary Baumgarten takes a look at the negative impacts and how this issue extends far beyond the scope of our planet.
Technology advances fast with new versions of cell phones, laptops, and more rapidly pumping out. And while having the latest devices can be cool and even useful, a new United Nations report reveals all the old gadgets are creating mountains of electronic waste around the planet.
So to date, only 22.3% of e-waste has been documented to be collected and recycled in a good way.
The term e-waste refers to trashed items with a plug or battery. According to the UN, the world will produce a whopping 82 million tons of it by 2030. Officials say some of the waste contains toxic materials and can pose health risks, especially to those in developing countries who scavenge through the waste to try and sell spare parts. But the problem stems beyond our planet, with thousands of pieces of space junk, including old satellites and rocket debris, orbiting Earth.
the other satellites in orbit have to do things like collision avoidance to move out the way of those debris objects, which causes problems to the services they're providing every day for us on Earth.
To tackle the problem, officials at Astroscale are experimenting with the company's robot claw. It's designed to grab debris floating by and push it closer to Earth, where officials say it will burn up in the atmosphere.
We're looking at getting to orbit with this spacecraft towards the end of 2026 and into 2027.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting. A professional photographer is sharing some advice on how to get the perfect shot of the upcoming total solar eclipse. So this is happening on April 8th. Photographers must wear protective eclipse glasses, just like other folks. However, that alone is not enough. Their cameras will also need special protective wear.
You have to have the right equipment. I made my own, and so what's really cool about this is it's all handmade. I use cardboard, styrofoam, and a sheet of filter that you can get pretty inexpensively through a lot of retailers.
A solar eclipse is expected to last about 4.5 minutes. The next total solar eclipse visible in the U.S. is expected to take place in 20 years, 2044.
Hmm. Are we going to get those cool glasses again?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But then now, you know, I'm just going to use my iPhone and try to take a picture. I don't know if that's okay or not.
I don't know. You might burn the lens out of it.
True.
We'll figure it out. We'll ask our resident scientists, Elizabeth Gardner and the WNSB. Lots of sun out there today.
I have heard somebody who is a little bit more of an expert with the with the solar eclipse said you need to have the glasses and put the glasses in front of your phone, exactly like Jeff said. So, Jeff, you're right on it, definitely. But it's coming up soon. I mean, you know, I remember last time when we had the solar eclipse, people were trying to get glasses, you know, months and months ahead of time. And hopefully there's still some out there. Of course, we don't get to see the total eclipse. We'll still get to see partial, and that will definitely be cool. All right. I do want to show this pollen count. It keeps trying to jump ahead. This just came out like 2 minutes ago. First time that I can remember this season that we have very high counts. And so, of course, we do have mulberry, oak, pine, and some other allergens out there. But first time, it just came in very high. And we're going to see that for a while, you know. We don't get out of this anytime soon, you know. It is beautiful out there. It's a little on the cool side. Take a live look at Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And, of course, that's our newsroom there in Fayetteville. Wait, check our weather impacts for tomorrow. It will be a dry start, but it will be cloudy and it'll be chilly. Temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s heading out the door. And then that rain rolls in early to mid-afternoon, and it is going to be a soaker by the time we get to the evening commute. And if you had any plans to be out during the evening through early Saturday morning, it is going to be pouring. There could be some isolated flooding that happens. We could see 1 to 2 inches of rain. It's just going to be messy for us Friday night into early Saturday. Here's a look at that system starting to develop down here. There is the potential for some severe weather down near Houston, but we're not looking at that severe weather potential. We're going to see this system rolling eastward. This high pressure system is bringing us lots of sunshine for today. And if we take a look at the big picture, notice by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, we're seeing sort of a first wave down to the south that starts to lift up across our area. And then gradually this whole system will lift northward with a warm front followed by a low and another front. But by the time we get to early Saturday morning, most of it starts to shift offshore, but a low pressure system rotates counterclockwise. So it is likely to push a little bit of extra moisture in behind it as it moves out. And so we do have the chance of some isolated showers from lunchtime to around the middle of the afternoon on Saturday. Here's a look at our high resolution model again. Cloud cover first thing tomorrow. By 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're seeing that rain shifting northward. It's going to be wet for most of us during the evening commute, and then rain continues all night. We're going to pause it right there at 4 o'clock. We may see this band of very heavy rain in the morning, possibly a thunderstorm with this, but we're not expecting anything severe in our area. I'm still wet at 8 or 9 o'clock, but by lunchtime, just a few showers in the north and potentially maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one quick shower that finally moves out. By 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the clouds may begin to break up. But if you do have plans to be out on Saturday, the heaviest rain will be over by the middle of the morning and we'll be left with just a few scattered showers. Looking most likely at 1 to 2 inches of rain with this system, and it's out of here on Sunday. Sunday and Monday are both nice and dry. Check in temperatures. We'll be in the mid-60s today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Look at this, though. 38 on Sunday morning, 37 Monday morning. So we have some chilly temperatures in the mornings. It'll be a little cool on Sunday with some sunshine, but we're nice and dry on Monday and Tuesday. And breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, a Wake County couple has pleaded guilty in a dog poisoning case. James and Agnes Goldston were arrested on animal cruelty charges. They poisoned three dogs belonging to their neighbors, Philip and Jessica Ridley. Agnes pled guilty to class one misdemeanor of communicating threats. She also got unsupervised probation for 12 months and was ordered to pay fines. James Goldston's case was dismissed, according to prosecutors. We'll have our top stories coming up after the break. Right now, we are learning some breaking news in the Headingham mass shooting case. Chelsea Donovan right now is going through dozens of documents showing what law enforcement found in the home.